peace is an interesting word. It can mean different things to different people. Some people talk of world peace, you know, the idea that there will be no more wars, no more conflicts. Others think of peace as an end to conflict in their own lives. No more arguments, no more stress. Others speak of a peace as an inner feeling, a personal peace. We're calm and at rest. There's an ancient word that comes from the Middle East that captures all these kinds of peace. In Hebrew, it's shalom. And in the Bible, shalom means much more than just the stopping of war and conflict. It's essentially the idea of good health, order, security, relational harmony on the human level. And on a divine level, it means peace with God and complete fullness of salvation. But as much as we seek peace, we also know that our world is full of trouble and conflict. You know, there hasn't been a day in the 21st century where there's been no fighting somewhere. You know, we look around, we don't see much peace. You know, we see its absence daily in the news, or whether we're at work or at home. Life often seems to be more trouble than peace. And so we go in search for it. Where do we find it? Well, the world offers many different ways to search for it. Some people think education is the answer, and understanding. If we knew more about how society works, then we wouldn't fight. But that hasn't prevented the world wars. Others say peace comes only at the barrel of a gun, and that we need to fight to create peace. And although there have been necessary wars, this has yet to bring us lasting peace. Solutions for our inner peace also seem lacking. Some suggest we try to find peace by avoiding the things that bring conflict, you know, like certain types of people or places. Some parents seek peace by putting on play school or Peppa Pig to find those precious 10 minutes of silence and that cup of tea. Others look for peace by going away on holidays. And, you know, we love it when there's no mobile reception, no people, it's just you and the beautiful creation around you. Some people try to find peace through alcohol, drugs, and even sometimes in desperation, suicide. These methods, both for world peace and inner peace, have limited success. Now, I'm sure we've all experienced moments of peace. But however hard we search, when we try to find peace the world's way, it only lasts for a short time until life brings upon us another conflict, whether that be personal or global. There seems to be a problem when we try to find peace the world's way. We're continuously searching for it. Our problem is that we are starting our search for peace in the wrong place. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God, and the way of peace they do not know. For us to achieve total and lasting peace, we need to go to the source of that peace. God is the giver of shalom. Because the world can't achieve peace because it doesn't understand that the core problem is. The reason that we're in conflict, that we have conflict in our world and not peace, is because we are enemies of God. Is that an uncomfortable truth for you to hear? If you're not someone who follows Jesus, you might say, I don't feel like he's my enemy. Maybe your thinking has been, if I'm okay with God, then he must be okay with me. But that's not the way that God sees it. All of humanity has turned its back upon God. And without God's grace, we all have this hatred in our hearts toward God, and we try to live without any interference from God. Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12, the passage that we read today, Paul reminds us of where we are in our natural state. We are without God, without hope. We are without peace. And the future that we face is eternal death. And no matter how hard we try to find peace ourselves, we aren't able to have it. And so if we can't find peace ourselves, how do we make peace with God? Throughout the whole Bible, God reveals to us his plan, a plan to make peace with humanity through one person. And we see that a glimpse of that in our passage in Isaiah. A light will be coming into the darkness. A son will be born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And as we read the New Testament, we find out who this Prince of Peace is. Jesus, Son of God. And now the question is, well, how does Jesus bring us peace with God? He does it by paying the debt owed to God so that we are no longer his enemies. Our response is simply to put our trust in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. Let me explain further. The cost of our rebellion to God is death. And peace with God has been accomplished for us by the death of Jesus Christ. He died in our place on the cross. If you have a look at verse 13 in our Ephesians passage, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And in verse 16, Paul goes on to say, he has reconciled us to God through the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, the war between us and God is over. We are no longer enemies with him. We have been saved from his judgment, and we are forgiven for the rebellion that we have towards God. Is this not great news? The peace that we are looking for is found in Jesus. There is nothing that we have to do to get it. God gives it to us as a gift. And all we need to do is accept it. If you don't have peace with God and you want peace with him, what you need to do is say sorry for your rebellion and trust in what Jesus has done for you. Now, achieving peace with God, the source of peace, then allows us to have other peace to follow as well. So the opposite of inner peace is really stress and worry. And we worry a lot, don't we? We worry about what the weather will be like tomorrow. We worry about the way our children will grow up. We worry about our relationships. We worry about the security of our future. We worry about our health. We worry about what's going to happen to us when we die. We worry sometimes whether or not, have we really been forgiven by God? Are we really going to heaven? You know, we worry about a lot of things. Life is full of worry and troubles. And we just sometimes, we don't feel like we have that peace within us. And we long for that inner peace of calm and control in the day-to-day troubles of our life. Have you noticed that a lot of our worry is about the things that we can't control? But now that we are at peace with God and no longer his enemies, the Bible says some amazing things to say about worry. We're told we don't need to worry because God loves us and he will provide for us, and he promises that nothing will come between us and him. The God of the universe, the one who has control over all things, the one who has the power over all things, the one who even knows how many hairs are on your head right now, he loves and cares for you. He sent his one and only son to die for you. And so as we trust in Jesus, he brings us security, knowing that whatever happens to us, we are going to live with him forever. And that in all our situations, he knows what is best for us. Does knowing that give you peace? I know it does for me. But what about the day today? How can I really practically feel peace? Well, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he promises us the experience of peace through his Holy Spirit. And God doesn't promise that all our worries and troubles will suddenly go away when we trust in him. Jesus, towards the end of his ministry on earth, says to his disciples in John chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." When we put our trust in Jesus, he promises us that the Holy Spirit will dwell within us and will produce in us that peace. I watched a segment on Oprah about finding peace. And they said to get peace for the days, to take 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes out of your day just to sit and tend your heart. Now, as we've already mentioned, we can't find peace on our own just sitting there. But I think there is good practice here. God is wanting us to spend time in his word. Let's focus and meditate on what Jesus has done for us, what he is doing for us right now, and what he will be doing for us when he returns. Read God's word. I've learned through my own experiences that as I read God's word and I talk to him, he reminds me of all the wonderful things that he's given me, the wonderful peace that he brings me. God's peace can flow through us, and even in the hardest of times, we can still feel it. Horatio Spafford lived in the 1800s. He had a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, 4 daughters and a son. Over a few years, some terrible things happened to him. Horatio tragically lost his young son. Fire destroyed almost every real estate that he'd invested in. And as they were heading to Europe on a holiday, their boat sunk and his 4 daughters drowned, leaving only Horatio and his wife. Horatio's life was massively full of conflict and trouble. So how was he able to write the words of the well-known hymn, "Whatever my lot, he has taught me to say, it is well with my soul"? Horatio had shalom with God, and he could say, "It is well with my soul." Do we trust that God will love and care for us in all circumstances? So Jesus brings us peace with God, and he brings us an inner peace. Does he also bring world peace? Does he bring peace with each other? Well, God promises, yes, there will ultimately be world peace. And we'll talk a little bit more about that soon. But the challenge given to us today is to start bringing the peace now to each other. God challenges Christians to start living that way. And in Ephesians, Paul speaks about the peace between Christians. Because of Jesus, we are citizens in God's kingdom. Not only are we citizens together, but we are all members of God's house. We are brothers and sisters, both forgiven and saved by God our Father. And this should affect the way that we relate to each other. If we go to chapter 4 in Ephesians, we see Paul pleading his case in how we are to live in peace with each other. He says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It can be hard to be at peace with others in church, because we hurt each other. We're still sinful. You know, we can seek peace by avoiding others. You know, that's what we do sometimes, isn't it? You know, there can't be any chance of conflict if I don't interact with them. We pick and we choose our friends, you know, the ones that we get along with. But that's not living in harmony. How much effort do we make to live in harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ? How much effort do we put in to reconcile with those people that hurt us? If you're a Christian, you have experienced the greatest forgiveness in the world. You are right with God. And yet we often fail to seek and give forgiveness with those around us. But with God's help, it is possible to have peace with those who have deeply grieved us. I don't know if you know her, Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian woman who had been sent along with her father and sister to a Nazi concentration camp, Ravensbrück. They'd been hiding Jews in their home. Both father and sister died from sickness and starvation in their camp, yet Corrie miraculously survived and she was eventually released. After the war, Corrie went to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was after one of those talks she gave on forgiveness when she was confronted by a man who had been one of the most cruel guards at Ravensbrück. He had become a Christian and asked for her forgiveness. This is what happened on that day. It was Corrie speaking. As I stood there, I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly and mechanically, I thrusted out my hand into the one who stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. This healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, grasped in each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. Corrie said, I've never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even then, I realised it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus brings us peace with each other. So what about world peace? We've looked at peace with God, and we've looked at having peace with ourselves, we've looked at having peace with the others around us, but what about world peace? A peace that covers the whole universe, covers all people. God does promise this peace. And we are called to do our part to live it now. But ultimately, world peace will not come until Jesus returns. When Jesus comes again, we are promised that we will experience full peace, full prosperity, and full health. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't long for that peace right now. We should want world peace. And we should want the world to have real peace. Jesus came to preach to those who are far away and to those who are near. Jesus is the real peace that you can have. And he calls us to preach that good news of peace to those who are far away. The world is looking for peace. We know where we can find it because God has shown it to us in the Bible. Let's be willing to share that peace with people, knowing that even though some might be hostile towards us, knowing that if they find Jesus, they can have total, complete peace that will last forever. Jesus brings us real peace with God. And if we want real peace, we need to accept it and trust in Jesus, the one who brings real peace. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love and care for us so much so that you sent your one and only Son to die for us on the cross. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your word. Thank you that Jesus can bring us peace. Lord, sometimes we don't feel at peace in this world, and so we ask for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to guard our hearts. Help us to trust in our loving Father and trust that he knows what is best for us. And Lord, help us to make every effort to live in peace with the people around us and to share the good news of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.